We're going to get started. I want to thank you all for being here this evening, and I hope you enjoyed the food, and I want to give a round of applause for those who served us and took care of the food. Thank you so much. This evening's going to be different than we've done in the past. You know, I wonder sometimes if we announce, because I was saying it's going to be health, like sort of a passport thing, that some people thought, oh, it's going to be the same thing as that we've tried in the last 2 years. Actually, it's not, but in some ways there'll be some similarities, not in the sense of the way it was laid out of passport, but it's going to be about health, and it's going to be about how do we keep ourselves healthy within ourselves spiritually, how do we keep ourselves healthy within inside ourselves physically, but also how do we keep ourselves healthy as a body, not just our body, but the body of Christ. How do we as a community, how does we as a faith community, which is different than other communities, how do we keep ourselves healthy in regards to that? It's interesting because both our physical body, our spiritual body, and our communal body have all similar traits right across the board. With that being said, let's start with a word of prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, come to us this evening. Each one of us is here, and each of us has our own one thing, perhaps, or maybe more, but at least one thing that we need to hear from you. Somehow, in the midst of this evening, speak to each one of us individually so that we can become the people you call us to be. Live in the community you called us to be, and treat our bodies in the way you called us to treat them. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. You know, it's interesting, because to really do the extraordinary as ordinary people for God, we've got to really keep ourselves focused and keep ourselves in line with what God wants for us, both physically, spiritually, and communally. You know, I decided what I'd start out with this evening, is a story that I hope you all love, because it's the story of one of the juiciest parts in all the Bible, the story of David and Bathsheba, okay? And the story of David and Bathsheba, I'm just going to read you the first couple of verses, and then I'm going to surmise the rest of it, because it's a whole chapter. But it goes like this. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Amorites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, "Isn't this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him, and he slept with her. She had purified herself from her uncleanliness. Then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David, saying, "I'm pregnant." You know the rest of the story, pretty much, I hope. The rest of the story, basically, is that David goes through all kinds of ability to try and get Uriah, who is a loyal servant of the Lord and King David, to go out and, you know, sort of go out and actually get killed on the front lines. I mean, that's what he ultimately ends up doing. He tries first to get Uriah to come home and sleep with his wife, but Uriah is so committed to the king and to Israel that he's like, "No, I'm not doing that. I'm on the job. I don't do that when you're on the job." So what happens? David has no other choice except to send Uriah to the front of the pack to where he's going to get killed, and he gets killed. From there, it's kind of interesting because, you know, they have a child, and then all of a sudden Nathan the prophet comes in and rebukes David and says, "You're the one that's done it," through a whole series of things. But the interesting part of this story that I want to stay with is the part that I read. Now, the part that I read is quite interesting because This evening's topic is all about being mindful of yourself, being aware of yourself. Now, y'all are hopefully sitting there saying, how's Spencer gonna pull off tying this story to mindfulness and awareness? Let me try it. The story begins with one line, and it says this: in the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israel army. They destroyed Amorites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained behind. He remained behind. He remained in Jerusalem. Why did he do that? He's the king. This is the time when kings go to war. What happened? He lost sight of who he was as king, and he decided he was going to set that aside. He was going to set that aside. You know, to really be healthy physically, you have to be aware of yourself. You have to listen to yourself, don't you? I mean, I don't know about you, but the older you get, the more you have to learn it. I mean, how many people have ever been dehydrated in your life? Yeah, I thought you'd have a lot of hands, and some of you are lying, so some of you haven't raised your hands. But I mean, you've got to be aware of that, and the older you get, how really, you know, clear are you to know and feel that you're dehydrated? I mean, anybody here when they were young could do a day's work and not drink very much water at all. But now you go out in the sun for 15 minutes and like, I'm parched. It's because, you see, we've become less aware of who we are. To be physically strong, to be physically healthy, means that you have to be aware, not just of your aches and pains, which, by the way, we rehearse them real well, but to be aware of the things that are around us, to be aware of the way we treat ourselves, to be aware of the way of, as my wife would always say to me, you went to the bathroom, did you wash your hands? But how many of us really are aware of all that stuff? How many of us are really pay attention to the things that we do in our own home and think, oh, well, that's not a big deal? You see, awareness is where all of a sudden we're aware of who we are, we're aware of who we aren't, and we live into who we are, and we don't get ourselves sidestepped into it. David was king. David should have been out there on the battlefield. That's why he got in trouble. He got in trouble because he lusted, yeah, but the door that opened before that was he wasn't living into his identity. And as people that are human beings, we've got, if we want to grow old and be healthy as we grow old, anybody not want to do that? Because I can arrange to have you go over to Italy or, you know, something like that. But you've got to be aware of where you are, what you're doing, what you're eating, what you're taking in. How many of us, the older we get, just eat whatever we want? You know? Okay? Well, why do you do that? I mean, I'm asking myself that question right now. You have to be aware. You have to be attentive. You have to look at it. And there's tricks that you can do with that. There's tricks of where all of a sudden, like if you're like me who loves cookies, you know, I have a new rule. If I eat two cookies, I've got to drink a whole glass of water. And what it does, you play a game with inside yourself. But what it does is it keeps you aware so that you don't get that compulsiveness, which, by the way, I'm really good at, okay, where you just addictively keep going back and forth. How many of you are stress eaters? Yeah, a lot more hands need to go up than that. Because that's what we are. It's the same thing with that attentiveness with spirituality. How many of us really pay attention to our spirit and where you are? You know, most of us would say, oh, well, I do that. I read my scriptures every day. I do my prayers every day. Those are all good. I'm not knocking it. But how many of you really listen to the spirit? How many of you, as I've said a million times, and I'm just as guilty as you are, have more conversation with the Lord about the things I want, the things I'm irritated about, the things I want changed, than saying, what do you want in my life? Now, whose will are you supposed to be involved with? His or yours? So shouldn't you be talking about his will more than your own will? It's all attentiveness. You know, Jesus points it out better than anybody else. You know, it's so interesting to me because Jesus, Jesus constantly was going out by himself to pray by himself. Where he'd just get alone, he'd get prayed, he'd get quiet. Some of the times, after the multiplication of the loaves, he's exhausted. So what does he do? He goes out by himself on the side of a mountain. Actually, that's how the disciples got in trouble on the river, so where he had to go walking on water to get to him. He goes up on the side of the mountain because he's got to reconnect with the Father. Another time, you know, before he chooses the 12 apostles, he goes and he prays. Says real clearly, in these days he went into the hills to pray, and all night he continued to pray to God. Then he went and made his decision. He does it before Peter's confession of the faith that Jesus is Christ. Now it happened that as he was praying alone, the disciples were with him. And he asked them, what do people say that I am? Immediately before the transfiguration, when he goes up and he gets the instructions from Elijah and from Moses, he goes off and he prays by himself. And this one's the one that gets me more than anything else. Before teaching the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer, he's in prayer with the Father. He's in prayer with the Father to get the prayer that he's going to teach other ones to pray. But he always goes off by himself. He goes off and checks in. What's your prayer life like? You know, it's funny because most people think their prayer life has to be set in this sort of like, you got to be kneeling and you got to be sort of, you know, in this right spot. And, you know, I don't know about you, but if I ever get in that right spot and I'm kneeling and immediately I start to go into God and I say, well, I got to discipline myself. I got to really talk to him about his will, not my will. To be honest with you, and you know what comes into my mind more than anything else? A peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I don't know why, but I distract myself when I should be focusing on God. And there's a certain point where you have to say, let me just get quiet. Let me just get quiet with the living God. To get quiet with him. To get quiet with yourself. Take a moment right now with yourself. And check in with yourself. What are you feeling? If you say bored, I'll hit you later. But what are you feeling? Is your mind running to saying sort of anxious things that, well, I got to get this done, I got that done, I'm concerned for my son, I'm concerned for my daughter, I'm concerned for whatever. Is your mind scattered? Or are you focused in on where am I right this moment? Can you even stay in this moment? Can you stay right there? Can you feel the blood running through your body? Can you stop for a second and actually say, let me focus on my breath? Because if you start to say, I'm focusing on my breath, and then you say it to yourself, and you're mindful of it, and you say, every breath I take is a gift from the living God. And you just stay focused on that and you let your mind drift. Even if you're in a group of people, but you're alone in that group of people. Watch where it happens to where your blood pressure goes. Shouldn't be going up, should be going down. The worries that you have, they're probably still there. But somehow they don't seem as unmanageable as they were prior to doing that. You want to know why? It's because you're not going into it alone. Most people go into the situations that they have totally alone. And then they pray to God afterwards, asking God to straighten out what they couldn't get straightened out themselves. We do a 911 prayer after we've already engaged ourselves. But if we go in and say, let me check in with you, and the only person I can change is myself, speak to me, God. Something will come about within you that your body will slow down, your spirit will connect more deeply than ever before, and the more times that you do it, and I don't mean it for a long period of time, but if you did it maybe for a minute or 2 minutes, once every couple of hours, the more you'll connect in and the deeper your relationship with God will go. And even better, your mindfulness of your body, okay, will start engaging. Your awareness won't just be the arthritis that you have. The awareness will come back to where, you know, maybe I ought to feed my body a little bit more. You know, I asked you before, how many of you are stress eaters? Usually stress eaters also are stress sort of not eaters. You can't get it right. You just can't get into the rhythm. So when you're under stress, you either, I got to feed myself a whole lot to comfort myself, or it's like I'm not eating anything. And yet, what would be the healthiest thing to do? To get into a routine, to get into a rhythm with who you are and the way you were created. You know, the community is also where we are. And we're going to do a little exercise tonight. Wherever you are right now, Brad's going to get up here in 1 second and explain some things to you. Because to be a healthy community, you got to be mindful of what's going on around you. How many of you only know about this community to the part that you're involved with, but really the rest of it doesn't matter? You know, the Episcopal Church is a worship-centered church. That means that we don't gather around Christian Ed, we don't gather around outreach, although Christian Ed and outreach are very important. We gather around worshiping God, of being connected with Him and being centered with Him. When we center with Him, we connect with each other. When we connect with each other, we have the power to actually care for each other, not just by saying, oh, I'm sorry to hear that, I'll pray for you, and then walking away, but rather where we actually listen to the other person. And we listen to ourselves to where it's not just, in a sense, about, oh, look at me, I just listened to someone else, but where you actually listen. If we become a listening community, watch for the communion that takes place. Because that's where life really comes. We love the Lord God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and we love our neighbor as ourselves. Most of us don't know how to listen to ourselves. So how are we going to listen to somebody else? Anybody here ever been accused of being on your phone while you should be listening to the other person in your house? You know, maybe it's where you set some of that stuff aside. Anybody here be ever told that, why are you about your agenda? It's always your agenda. Why is it your agenda? Maybe it ought to be where, let's go to God's agenda. We're trying to become a better community. The good news in that is this. You won't get to hear me all night. Because I'm going to turn it over to Brad right now. And Brad's going to come forward and introduce a little bit of an exercise that we're going to ask you guys to do. Because in that exercise, I think you will find out more about yourself, more about each other, and begin the journey that we're really on. We're going to be going through this whole thing over the next 5 weeks. It's not going to be where it's going to be next week. It's going to be about spiritual hydration. You're going to have one about exercise, and I'm not going to give them the rest of them because Brad, I think, is going to do that. But the truth of the matter is, what we want you to do is grow deeper. Grow deeper in yourself, and in that process, then we'll become a more effective community that worships, but we'll be more effective people for the living God. Brad?